Welcome everyone, episode 2 with Andy Lim, VIP Selves. Welcome Andy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, how you doing Danny?
I'm even better because you just told me about 2 minutes ago you just did another deal at eBay, which, well done, over 600k in 3 months. Today we're going to share the secrets of Andy Lim. I think it's good to just do a little introduction to who you are, a little bit about your past and a little bit about the 4 years I've known you. It'll be good to hear your story. And then, you know, and then we'll talk about, because I know I want to know why you went into recruitment, but also why you joined Impellum as well. But why not tell the beautiful Impellum audience who you are?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Andy Lim. I've been working with Danny for about 4 years now, back at our last company. So I think how I first, kind of a little bit about myself. So come from a single parent household. It was me, my dad, and my sisters. So we all grew up very, very close. San Francisco, I lived here my whole life, grew up here my whole life. So I have a really big heart for everyone here in San Francisco. I went to San Francisco State University. That's where I was going through a criminal justice degree. My dad really wanted me to become a police officer at the time. And I think around 4 years in, I was about to graduate. I was like, I don't really see myself really becoming a police officer. It wasn't a career that I felt really passionate about. So doubled down on myself, got a double major in marketing. Still wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do, but figured that out, graduated a year and a half or so after that. And then I think I read this book recently called The Accidental Salesperson, where it talks about not many individuals really go into a career in recruitment or sales. Not many people want to get no shut in their face like a million times a day. So I think that resonated with me a lot, because a lot of people that end up in recruitment, usually it's by accident. So when I graduated San Francisco State, a recruiter from my last company reached out to me. The subject line was interested in a career of sales / recruitment. And I was like, okay, sounds very excited. Went over to the last company. I interviewed with Chris for the first time, which is really, really exciting. Did my first interview, final interview, fell in love with him, fell in love with the individuals that I spoke with, and then fell in love with recruitment a few years after that. So that was a bit about my journey. Now I started.
Amazing. What a journey. And I think what's really important for everyone in the room is to probably understand, you know, we don't have to mention any names of companies or et cetera, but your first few years in recruitment, because similar to my story, I really struggled in my first 6 months, but you came to a business that had already was doing so well in Salesforce, and you were hired to set up a whole new business. And you know, your neighbors next to you were killing it, were like one of the best in Salesforce, and you had started up a new business. And I remember it really well, because we spent a lot of time building that together. But tell me about your experience with that, because I think it's important that people know that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I first started, Chris was like, Andy, I tell this story to a few individuals that I've met throughout the years, but Chris was like, Andy, you're going to head up the iOS market. I had no idea what that was. I was like, Chris, what's iOS? So I had to do a lot of Google searches. I went to a lot of conferences to kind of learn about what that technology and market is. And after a bit of time, I think it was really interesting, because a lot of the most successful people that I've worked in recruitment usually don't do their deal for the first 6 months or longer. I know that was similar to yourself, Danny. It took me 9 months to do my first deal, and I talked to anybody in sales. Yeah, it took me 9 months, so it was a long time. And I feel like that's always very hard in sales and recruitment, just because you see a lot of individuals next to you that are doing a lot of deals, and you're like, man, I wish I was there. But after the 9 months, I broke into some of the largest companies in the past organization that I was working with. And I think it was just like, I was working really, really hard every day. That was the one thing. Like my KPIs, my metrics, everything was there. It just, the success didn't come in
yet. That's why I loved you so much. I mean, you're one of the nicest people in the world, but I loved you because the one thing I always say is, I don't care if you're in a good market or bad market. If you don't work for it, then you don't deserve it. You deserved everything that was about to be coming.
Yeah. So when I worked in Salesforce, was the biggest one. Like everyone was doing Salesforce placements all the time at the time, and mobile, building a brand new candidate database, bringing a brand new client database. We had absolutely nothing from the start. So it was just all about building. And after we broke into some of the largest companies, that's when I think year two was when I had a really, really big shift. Everything started doing really well, placed 45 mobile developers at, you know, top clients, and then just started working with a lot of, you know, replicating some of that success and like being able to talk with different clients about what we've been doing.
Amazing. I remember when I was talking to Chris about, you know, you worked so hard for that moment and that tipping point, and you deserved all the, and credit where credit's due. You stayed resilient, you stayed strong. What I loved the most was the paycheck, the thing. When I remember when it was the first quarter of the year, And if you don't mind me sharing this, I remember you talking about you were making like 5K over a quarter. What was the monthly pay like 10 months later, 11 months later? What were you getting a month?
Yeah, it was about like 30 to 40,000 a month. I was getting commission checks.
So, not bad. After three years in recruitment, eh?
Yep. So I think I always had it when I first started. I was like, man, when I get my first 10K commission check, like I'm going to post it up. Like it's going to be something I'm really excited about. And then after that, once you get the first one where you hit the five digits, like it's just like an addiction. You're like, okay, like how am I going to get to 20? How am I going to get to 30? So
exactly. So we worked together for a long time and then we moved together to in Pelham.
Yep.
Why in Pelham?
I think, so I talk about this a lot when I meet with individuals and the saying goes like, you don't leave your job, you leave your manager. And in this case, I left and I followed managers that I really trusted. So with yourself and Chris, I've worked with you both for many years. Like I know that you have my best interests at heart. And I think it's always about working with the right people, because if you have the right leaders, if you're all following the same vision, if you work with like-minded individuals, I think everyone will become successful. So I knew that even though like it was, you know, I was the top performer over there in the last organization, but I knew if I came over here, work with you both, you know, being able to, you know, manage a team all across the United States and send to the West Coast, a lot of those reasons and just each person that I interviewed with, like the leadership team here is fantastic. All of the individuals on the team. So I think that was a big reason that I made the move.
Yeah, I purposely put that question because I wanted you to give me some praise. No, I'm joking. And I agree 1,000%. I say this very openly. And I actually just had a new starters meeting and Rebecca, who works at SRG, asked me why in Pelham. And I was explaining quite a lot around, you know, the main two is I want to be number one in America. If we're going to do it, let's be the best, become the verb in the market. But I want to do it the right way. And I met Claire Marsh and I met Julia and I met Ryan. And I felt immediately in love with these people who cared so much and was willing to support this belief that we could be the best in what we do, but also do it the right way by creating pathways for many and really changing people's lives. And when I look at how successful you've become, one in the, you know, you've only been 4 or 5 years in recruitment. It's insane. It's incredible. But there's a method to this madness. And so what we're going to get into now is really your secret sauce. Like, how do you do what you do? Because everyone's looking at going, you're mobile or you're eBay, what is it? So we're going to quickly, if it's cool with you, let's go through this now so everyone can hear the Andy Lim, you know, way of working. And if honestly, if you're in sales, please just do what Andy does. That's always what I say to people. Just follow, just copy and paste it. You know, the best ideas are usually stolen. Still what Andy does, because he's so good at what he does. So what is the market you focus on and how have you done it? Like, what are you doing?
Yep. So I focus on mobile. So iOS, Android, anything cross-platform is usually what we'll work on. So I think with mobile, almost all clients now have an application, e-commerce, fintech, gaming, a lot of those type of companies. So they all need mobile developers and they're so niche within the market. It's hard for generalist recruiters just to kind of qualify them to a standard that's good enough for the clients. So we usually use mobile as a Trojan horse to get into companies. And then once we do, kind of land and expand afterwards. So an example I use with eBay. eBay came from clients that I work with. A lot of managers I like to build a really close relationship with. So once they leave to different companies.
How do you build the close relationships?
I think meeting with them. So I flew out to Portland to meet a few of these managers, getting, you know, some face-to-face time, I think is really important. I do weekly cadence calls with managers. So as soon as I start a job spec with them, I'll meet with them at least once a week to say, you know, there's no bottlenecks, making sure that we're moving the process, being able to text them and everything. I feel like just getting a close relationship and just like showing them I'm a real person and just by working really hard, like, cause they know that you're a recruiter or your team is going to be working hard to fill their recs. So I think that's the biggest way that I get close.
I love it. I love it. So I interrupted you. Do you remember what flow you were in? Do you remember where you were? Okay, cool.
Yep. So I think with eBay as an example, so mobile uses a Trojan horse to get inside here. We've been able to do really well finding out exactly what they're looking for. And then we're expanding with different verticals now, right? So I've been partnering with Jess Mima. I know she did a spotlight last week. She's been absolutely fantastic. Just got another placement about 10 minutes ago, right before this phone call. But I think the big thing is just she was able to find out like what a good and great candidate looks like. So large distributed systems, working at big companies, having a master's degree. So I think like when you work with new clients and find out what their exact skill sets they're looking for is very important. And then afterwards, I've just been expanding vertical by vertical. So starting with mobile, we're doing back end now. And then the big plan is to do how do we go to product, QAs, testers, PMs, SDETs, like all of that stuff and kind of continue to build out that way.
Yeah, and just to talk, like the way I always look at it for anyone who, just to make it easy for people, it's like if you were to go to any company, it's mirroring their organogram in a way. So if you look at a technology division, you're going to have all these divisions. If you look at life sciences, you're going to have so many areas that are, you know, within a huge organogram, but everyone's going to be hiring. And if you break into one, they trust you. It's then leveraging off that relationship. And I saw your email, like one of the managers said, Andy's placed 40 people with me. Like that in itself means how can you not trust this person to deliver? And it seems like you're working extremely well with other people outside other divisions. So really, I mean, it's amazing. So what works for you? What are the things that really, apart from that, really work for you?
Yeah, so I would say when I first started in recruitment and then jumped into the sales side, I was more of a job order taker and I would just take whatever the client would give me. So they're like, hey, I need these 50 things from this candidate, all of these things, unicorn candidate. I'm like, okay, yes, Mr. and Mrs. Client, I'll go find that for you. Now I feel like I'm more of a consultant, which is the big difference and why I was able to do much better is like, I always make sure that, you know, for example, when there's an interview stage that's anything over two steps, I always consult with the client like, hey, we need to get this down to two stages. Reason being, this is what the market is dictating. These are what all the other clients, these are what your competitors are doing. Every time we're working with candidates, they have 3 to 5 offers before we're in offer stages. So anything over two stages is just going to take too long. And then you kind of give them the facts and you consult with them. So and they're like, hey, then you give them some like examples, what you can do. Like, hey, you have 3 stages right now. You need to meet with the CEO. Can the CEO be in the final stage of the second round? Just lump that all in together. If the candidate doesn't do well, we can take that time back. CEO can have time back. So like giving them a few solutions. So I think that's one, just making sure that we always have a really good process for that one. And then making the jobs as fillable for the recruiting team as possible. So what I mean by that is like having a fillable job, getting interview stage process down to two steps. You ask the managers like, hey, do you work with candidates on visas? If they're like, no, or tell me a little bit about what that is. Like, hey, in this market, there's like a lot of candidates that are on H-1Bs, OPTs, TN visas, CPTs, et cetera. It'll open about 40% of the market if we're able to open up to that. And then you kind of consult with them like, hey, we can take on visas through Lorien. We work with third party agencies that we've vetted, that we trust, that we can work with. So that's a process. Location parameters, getting flexibility there. Hey, if you're only looking in San Jose or in Portland, this is the only companies that we're probably, you know, finding from. But if you open it up to fully remote, and then I always give them examples. So when I work with a big Fortune 10 client, as an example, they were only looking within Portland and there was only 4 companies that we were really fishing from. Once we open it up to fully remote, we placed 45 people over there relatively quickly because they did that. And then another example is like, hey, I met with 2 eBay managers on the same day 2 weeks ago. One person was fully remote. One person was only in San Jose. The person that was fully remote, we filled one position. We have an offer out right now. The person that was on site in San Jose, it's taking much longer. So we consult with them and try to push back where we can for that flexibility.
Hey, so. You're an educator. It's amazing. But it's also because you've got some experience in there. But the two things that I hear about is urgency and flexibility. So, you know, I always use the really bad analogy of Jack Bauer, who was starring 24, saved the world 77 times in 24 hours. I'm sure we can place a candidate within 24 hours too. So if this guy can save the world, what can we do within 24 hours? But you're kind of working like to the point of, hey, we know the market. We're the experts at recruitment. You're the experts at engineering. You need to trust us on our education. So for anyone who's new or experienced here, you've got to trust in this belief that there's a reason why we get premium value for our return of our delivery, because not everyone can do it. Because we're building out our top 100. We're finding the best candidates in the market so that when the client opportunity comes, it's like automated. We can deliver, but there's no point if the process is 20 stages or even 3. And so I always work on the premise of a great grand chess master thinks like 8 to 10 moves ahead. We're only thinking 4. We get the job, we get the resume, we get the interview, we get a decision. How quickly can you wrap that up and work it towards the point of, if you get off that call and you don't know when the manager can make a decision, you're going to struggle. Work out, align those processes. So that's brilliant in terms of urgency. The other thing, I remember when I worked in Amsterdam, this lady called Ruth Steele, she was amazing. And she used to say, Danny, sales isn't about sales. Sales is about flexibility. You can sell really well and not do the deal, or you can create flexibility so you can do many. And I was like, it's just beautiful. That makes such sense. So what you're talking about, yes, you come from a consultant background. So for anyone new, when you're on those big calls, either role play, prep before the call, so you're ready and prepared with your examples, with your stories, or bring a senior in. We've got so much senior talent in this company. Just put them in or get me. I'm always available. I love a client call. You might look at my calendar. It's not true. I'm always available. But Andy, great examples. Love it so much. July was a bit of a big month for you, hey? You billed $287,000. You've been here for not even a year.
Yep.
Why do you think you billed so much in July?
I think a majority of it goes to the recruiting team. So both on mobile and Jess Mima, like those are my first two biggest shout outs there, because I feel like they've really found out what a good candidate and a great candidate looks like. And because they were able to do that, they were really able to fill the positions quickly. And then I think second just goes to like the timelines and urgencies and first meeting with the clients. It's like every time I meet with a client, like those few things, so like location parameters, visas, bill rates, salaries, expectations, I always push for flexibility and never take no or the first thing that I get. And then whenever I bring it over to the recruiters, I make the job as fillable, as easy as possible, because I worked on the recruiting side before. And I understand, like, if it's a job that's really hard, why would a recruiting team work on that if they can work on something that's easier, that's 100%. Going to be filled faster? So like whenever I work on a job spec call, I always think with my recruiting team in mind, these are the things that I most need flexibility on. And if I get these things and I can wrap it up, I could talk about selling points on the position. If I give that all to the recruiting team, give them all the tools of success, I know they'll be able to fill the positions. So
that's amazing.
I think that's
you have a lot of empathy and understanding. Well done for giving everyone else plaudits, even though you did an incredible job. So well done. I know how hard you've worked for this and I know how skilled you are, but the empathy and understanding from others is amazing, because you really understand what they're going to go through. So you've made it as simple as they can to deliver. And, you know, people need to understand eBay is looking for the best engineers in America, and it's hard to find engineers. So we're making it look really easy. So, and I think this is where you've shortened the interview process to literally two stages, the telephone and then final round.
Yep.
That's why you can do so many deals in such a short time. Rather than doing one deal a month, you're doing one deal a week. Two deals today. It's pretty incredible. So I know that I know that this is already half an hour, but this is gold, the stuff you're giving, and people would pay for this stuff. So I'm going to ask you a couple more questions, if that's okay, brother. I know how busy you are.
No worries.
So what would be the advice that you give to the other salespeople in the business right now?
I would say referrals is probably the biggest way that I've built my business so far. So like whenever I work with managers and we're having even a little bit of success, a first interview, a final interview, a person that's first accepted an offer, I always ask, like, how can I help with other managers in the division? So everybody in eBay that I've been working with so far has come through probably about 10 plus different.
So just
referrals.
That one question everyone can ask.
Yeah,
we're pulling jobs from that. Just one question. Who else is hiring? Who else can I help?
Yeah, absolutely. The second one would probably be just like when you're working with the recruiting team, I always try to like either BCC them on stuff or CC them on stuff or give them as much visibility as they can, because they know obviously the recruiting team and sales team are supposed to work together as one. And it's tough when they don't have visibility. Like how many times have you reached out to the manager? So like I'll BCC them on stuff when I'm chasing up. Manager hasn't come back yet. I'm chasing up. First submission across, I'll CC them on. And then once they get good enough, I'll keep them CC'd on the emails. And I'm like, hey, I don't want to be a bottleneck. I know I'm in a bunch of meetings. If you want to submit the candidate straight to the client, please feel free to do so. So I would say those two. And then third is the weekly cadence with the managers. So whenever I first start working with the client, I'm like, hey, this is something that I want to do, so we don't create any bottlenecks. We want to move as quickly as possible. I know sometimes you all get really busy over at eBay as an example. I usually meet with a lot of my managers there at least just once a week, even for like 5 or 10 minutes. So what time next week works for you? And then I book that as a weekly cadence, and then everything starts moving, I would say, after that.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. What I love the most is the commitment to your customer and your people is you commit to them that you're going to keep them part of the journey. You get commitment from them during the journey, and that's what you deliver. So it's amazing. You keep people, we're in this together. I always use that analogy from Gladiator where would you rather be Maximus who goes to battle together, or would you rather be the king in the back who everyone hates? You're always going to want to be the one who goes to battle together. And that's what it feels like. You're with the customer together. You all want the same thing. I think it's amazing. Mate. I think it's a, I love this. Okay, two more questions. The same to working with recruiters. What would you advise recruiters? Because you have been there and you obviously have so much empathy towards them.
Yeah. I'd say with the recruiting team, like you are our eyes and ears on the market. So whatever you see, whenever you're working on a role, over communication is going to be the most important. So you're working on an iOS position for me with eBay. You've reached out to 100 people throughout yesterday, couldn't reach anybody in San Jose. Come back to the sales account managers with that information. And then we can always take that back to the client and be like, hey, this is what the market is dictating. This is what my recruiting team has told me. We need some flexibility here. So like, I think it's always a partnership. The more information that you can share with the account manager and with the account manager can share with the recruiter, like everybody has the same goal in mind. So I always try to tell them, like, over communicate with me, tell me what you're seeing on the market, and then I'll always try to push for flexibility if we need to.
Beautiful, virtuoso through and through. I love that. Final things, your top tips.
Yep. I think those are the majority.
I mean, you've given some of the most golden nuggets for people that are amazing. Yep. But is there anything else you'd add, like you sprinkle some dust on top?
I would say just the fillability with the positions. Creating urgency is the most important thing. Working to a really, really good timeline when you meet with the manager. So always have your calendar open. Be able to work backwards on a timeline. So if I were really quickly
meeting with you, Danny. Do people understand the working back? Because we know the language when we talk about working backwards. Maybe explain to people what that means.
Yep. So I'm meeting with a new client and they're like, hey, Andy, I need to get someone really started by September 12th. I'm like, okay, Mr. and Mrs. Manager, September 12th. I'm looking at my calendar right now. You need at least 2 weeks for a knowledge transfer or to them to give a notice. So that's the 29th. You probably need to give out an offer at least by the 26th. So they have that weekend. Probably need to do final interviews by the 24th, 23rd. And you probably need to do first round interviews 22nd, 19th. So that means tomorrow, if we can get on a call, the good thing is we only work in this market. So I'll have 3 to 5 profiles over to you by tomorrow at 2 p.m. Are you able to meet then? And then let's work towards this timeline. And usually they're like, okay, yeah, that sounds really
amazing,
good.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to everyone listening, think about it just from going on a flight, going on holiday. You don't turn up at the airport without your passport, without your clothes. You don't. Well, I have once, okay? Well, I took someone else's suitcase, actually. So the point here is you work towards that goal. If the manager wants the person to start there, be honest. Like, you need to then commit to this, this, and this to make that happen. And I think that is beautiful advice, because then again, you're controlling the controllables and you're influencing the process the right way. And you're starting a job spec how it should go on. The hardest thing is taking a crap job spec and then having to chase, fight all the time. So, and your time is our greatest commodity, Andy. So you're making it priceless. So I love this. You know, it's funny, I talk about biases. You shouldn't have biases in life or biases in hiring. I am biased to Andy Lim. You are just amazing. This is, I want to, this is going to have to be compulsory for anyone who joins this company to listen to this, because it is, there's so many golden nuggets, and they don't ever use that word, but it just, what you talk is, we can educate and we can read textbooks, but you are living and breathing as the number one. You are number one in mobile recruitment, and what you're doing today is just why you are the standard. You are such a good human being, and you have so much incredible stories to share. Such, you know, and I hate to sound like a patronizing old person, but I'm about to be 40. But for someone so young doing so much so well, there is a reason why Jessica said Andy's incredible. There's a reason why everyone loves Andy Lim, because you're living and breathing the way this job should be. You're making it such an easy job when you work so hard. So it's a pleasure, always an honor, brother. Thank you so much for doing this. Everyone, have an amazing rest of your week, amazing weekend, and we'll see you very soon. And Andy, thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Danny. Appreciate it.
Always, man.